Good morning. What a pleasure it is to be with you in your living room or in your office, wherever you're celebrating and worshiping with us this morning. I've been praying a lot this week that God would reveal silver linings to me. And it's been overwhelming, the amount of silver linings, the grace that he's been revealing to me. And one of those graces this morning that I felt was that the beauty of being on Facebook Live is you can pause and take really good notes with all of the great stuff that I'm going to be sharing with you today. Welcome and grace and peace to you from God our Father, from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from their Holy Spirit. Amen. It was months ago that Rev Rob and Reverend Neil and I sat down in the office to plan our preaching series over Lent. Months ago. In fact, it was weeks even before that that Reverend Rob suggested that we take an in-depth look into an often forgotten book of the Old Testament, the book of Job, and preach a series on suffering. And we had no idea that we would be preaching in the midst of very real and frightening suffering that is blanketing our communities, our nation, and our world. How incredible that God was leading us to focus so sensitively on his perspective and teaching on suffering. How incredible that in a time where the world is asking us to sacrifice and to distance ourselves, God has already been preparing our hearts into the season of Lent for just such a posture. And yet, there is actually never a day in this world when we would preach the good news of Christ and the comforting hope of his presence and spirit without standing amidst some sort of real suffering. In fact, the Bible barely opens before suffering, pain, and death is invited into our world by none other than man himself. And because of rebellion of God's will and rejection of his good, man entered into a world of suffering and of pain and of death. Remember as well that suffering and extreme pain are used to indicate to us when something is broken, when something is wrong. The relationship between Creator and creation was, and in many ways, still is broken. Sin is the wedge that separates God and man, and suffering is the painful result of this separation. We also know that the difference between moral evil and natural evil. Moral evil involves man's rebellion against God's will. And this rebellion opened the door for natural evil, natural disasters, like earthquakes and tsunamis and disease. But because of Adam's dominion of the earth, his stewardship, when Adam rebelled, all that was under his authority fell with him. Everything was broken. Now, many people in the world are suffering today, not because of their direct sin, but because of the reality of the natural world and its infection. Some may suffer in the weeks and months to come because of moral evil, when people hoard food or elevate prices to make enormous profits off of others' suffering. But we all suffer through this pandemic and through countless other struggles because of the brokenness of this world. So let's hold that in our minds while we consider suffering in relationship to the incarnate. If God's life is going to be incarnated in us when we need to surrender our wills and plans to God's Holy Spirit, so his life will be ours. Listen to the powerful words of Scottish theologian and evangelist Oswald Chambers. The purpose of Pentecost was not to teach the disciples something, but to make them the incarnation of what they preached, so that they would literally become God's message in the flesh. If you have been joining us for midday prayer on our live stream this week, you will remember when we looked at this passage in Acts when it says, "You shall be witnesses to me," in Acts chapter 1. So we are not saved to be simply instruments of God's, but sons and daughters who carry the likeness of Jesus. So also, suffering has a purpose. And let's examine together suffering's purpose this morning. Suffering reveals the good that we ignore. Many people, whether atheist, agnostic, or just plain scared, often bring up the question, if God is so good and powerful, why is he allowing the spread of COVID? Actually, if God is so good and powerful, why is any suffering for any people present at all? Well, firstly, it happens because of natural evil. The world is not as God meant for it to be. He meant for it to be totally good. However, because of our rebellion, we have a reality of disease and disaster. We find a comforting answer and perspective from Elihu in our text today. Job 36:15 says, "But by means of their suffering, he rescues those who suffer, for he gets their attention through adversity." So you could partly be excused for thinking, if there is not God, then there is no evil. That evil is just nature at work. It's non-personal, unrational nature taking its course. The strong survive, the weak do not. But in that worldview, there is no comfort for the sick or the dying. There is no comfort for those whose family was washed away in a flood or broken because of a world under the weight of a powerful virus. The question of evil is almost always raised. But why is the question of good almost never raised? Augustine summarizes it very well when he says, if there is a God, why is there so much evil? But if there is no God, why is there so much good? If the norm and natural of experience is evil, then why isn't every baby stillborn? Why doesn't this disease always end in death? Why does anyone survive a car, a train, or a shipwreck? Why is creation so beautiful and moving? How can we feel gratitude when we narrowly miss death? When the doctor comes in and says, you're clear, you've tested negative. Doesn't evil, suffering, and disaster grab our attention because it is not the standard and the norm of everyday life? When a disaster like Katrina, the earthquake in Haiti, or New Zealand, or Japan happens, a majority of the world remains unharmed. C.S. Lewis says it like this in The Problem of Pain. If the universe is so bad, or even half so bad, how on earth did human beings ever come to attribute it to the activity of a wise and good creator? Men are fools, perhaps, but hardly so foolish as that. There are certain times and instances where suffering is the norm, but there seems a remarkable ability to see the good that is in the world. Every day we experience God's common grace. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. The very fact that you are hearing the sound of my voice or can see me this morning on your computer is a gift of God's common grace. Parents that love their adopted children, husbands that lovingly care for their sick wives, missionaries that give their lives to tell of God's grace, medical relief that is selflessly serving the world at this very moment. Post-Enlightenment era Voltaire famously asked, "How can God be so cruel?" But I much prefer the pre-Enlightenment era Martin Luther, who asked, "How can God be so merciful?" The simple truth is, God is good. And Elihu reminds Job and us that our perspective of that is everything. What in your life is good? James says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. The enemy, however, wants to use extreme pain and suffering in an attempt to distort God's character. In Luke chapter 22, it says that Satan demanded that you, meaning Peter, be sifted. Have we ever thought how many times God refused the demands of Satan to bring greater suffering and evil and hardship into our lives? Most incredibly, we find the ultimate gift of God in his grace purchased by the death of himself on the cross. Suffering invites an examination that we deny needing. In my early days as a Christian and within my first experiences of confession, I would often ask, why should I ask forgiveness for sin that I don't believe I've committed? But was I placing responsibility for evil and suffering on the wrong shoulders? Genesis 6 says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Romans says, "For no flesh will be justified by the works of the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Jeremiah says, "Can a man change his skin or a leopard his spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil." Evil is again moral evil. I do not need to recount every misstep I have taken in my life to recognize that where I stood was far from where God had wanted me to reside. Rebelling against God's will and rejecting His good. We have a great tendency to be selfish and self-interested. It's obvious by the lack of basic necessities on the shelves of our local stores this week. We sin or rebel against God because by nature we are in rebellion against God. We have no ability to change our own hearts. We can alter our behaviors and attitudes somewhat, but when it comes down to the root, we are rebellious. If I, honestly examined our hearts, we would find that I am in need, desperate need, of salvation. When we offer our lives to God by faith in Jesus Christ, something called regeneration happens. Jesus said that you must be born again in John chapter 3. In other words, we need a new heart. We need a new birth. And it's sometimes disaster that leads us to that examination, that God's character and word reveal what we need. Romans says, "All have sinned and fallen short by the glory of God." God's mark is perfection. When I stand before Him, 99% is still a failure. That is why God allows disasters and disease and disappointment, etc., into our life so that He can yell into our pain, "This isn't what I planned for you." C.S. Lewis said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Although God does not cause the evil, nonetheless, He is working in the evil to bring about greater good." Romans again says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal." And so the question is not what kind of God allows suffering and pain. The question is, what kind of holy and righteous God allows anyone to live? None of us is promised tomorrow, but God allows pain and suffering to be used for His plan to bring people from every tribe, nation, and tongue to worship Him as the redeemed around His throne forever. And so the question becomes, what kind of response do I have to this God revealed in Jesus Christ? Have I ever honestly examined my heart next to the claims and the work of Jesus on the cross and in the resurrection? If suffering can trigger transformation, can I handle what Elihu is asking Job to consider as well? Can I handle that God potentially wants me to lose something so that I can gain a closer relationship with Him? The Russian Orthodox author Alexander Solzhenitsyn stumbles into this when he writes from an experience in a communist gulag. "It was only when I lay there on rotting prison straw that I sensed within myself the first stirrings of good. Gradually, it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties, but right through human hearts. So bless you, Lord, bless you, prison, for having been in my life." The St. Patrick as well was formed in suffering, his time in Ireland as a slave, that God would remove him from his family so that he could be built up into greater ministry later. I have one question for you, if you are joining us today as an unbeliever. If you haven't trusted in Christ and His atoning, suffering death on the cross, if not the goodness of God reaching out to you even now, Where do you find hope in the suffering reality of this world? If you are a believer, I have more questions for you. What are you trying to teach me through this disaster, Lord? What are you trying to build in me? What are you trying to remove from me? What are you trying to prepare me for? What would you have me do to share the goodness of your nature to my neighbors who are suffering? What is the answer to suffering and the problem of evil? We don't have a clear one. But in every other religion of the world, you will find gods who are detached from the agonies and the suffering of people. However, in Jesus Christ, God Himself went to the cross to suffer and to die for our sin. God is not far removed or detached from our suffering and pain. In fact, He suffered separation for your good. Jesus laid aside His immunity to pain, and He entered this world of suffering and of tears and of death, and He shouts in the eye of the storm enveloping us, "This is not what I have for you. This is not what I have for you." Thank you, Father. Amen.